a series called Getting Off on the Right Foot, or it's called The Right Foot because we all know what it's like to get off on the wrong foot. We've all done that. I've been sharing stories of that. And so I'll share a little once upon a time. The Petersons pastored in Patterson, and they lived on Pitscotty Lane. Doesn't that sound like a nice little nursery rhyme? But it is not a nursery rhyme. It is true. We were pastors in Patterson, California, and the Petersons did live on Pitscotty Lane in Patterson. And it was a great little community, about 20,000, about 50% or more. It was called a bedroom community because it was so expensive to live in San Francisco and the Oakland area that about 50% or so commuted about an hour and a half to 2 hours to go to work and lived where we were in Patterson. And as we were had a good 4 years there. We love the people there. Have some great memories. Our girls were small. They were in elementary school. Some great memories there. It wasn't perfect. It was a great little community, but we weren't like in the worst neighborhood, but we were on a parsonage in not the best neighborhood either. It was okay. Across the street, sometimes there was drugs in a drug house over there, and one time our bedroom was above the garage overlooking our neighbors, and one time in the middle of the night, we heard gunshots ringing out, and you know, as any smart guy does, he gets up and he looks out the window and standing in full view, and why Heather's on the ground saying, get down, what are you doing, what's wrong with you? And so anyway, well, the next day, there's bullet holes all over the neighbor's cars, and so it just gives you a little taste that we kept the stick up on the door. We were too cheap to get the, whatever you call it, the security system. But we had one of those sticks that we locked all our doors. I'm OCDC. Is that right? OCD, or is it ACDC? No, I'm just kidding. I'm OCDC when it comes to, Heather knows this, I will check our garage door and the door inside and our front door and our back door. I will check that maybe twice before we go to bed, just to make sure that we've locked the doors. And on this particular night, our bedroom's above the garage, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And again, a lot of people have to get up and travel an hour and a half, 2 hours to go to work each way. And so about 3 o'clock in the morning, we were awakened to our garage going up and down. We heard it and we looked at each other, we're like, what's going on here? And then we heard it again, and we're like, we definitely, something's going on here. So I reached underneath my bed and grabbed my Louisville Slugger Mike Sweeney autographed baseball bat, and I started to head downstairs. I quickly peeked in the girls' room, saw that they were safely and sweetly sleeping the night away, and I ran downstairs, and I was just like, I got to be crazy. And so I just went out in the garage, and I just started yelling, get out of my garage, get out of my garage. And I saw my neighbor Mike going, Pastor, it's me, it's Pastor, Mike, it's me, Mike, it's me. And I was out of it. He scared me, I scared him. He went on to work. We didn't think much of it, but we had a good laugh after he got off that work that evening, because there I was with my Louisville Slugger in my tidy whities. I had no time to get anything on. I was underdressed and I was ill-prepared. And it's a funny little story, but the reality is that's not as funny when that's kind of how we kind of get ready spiritually sometimes for our morning. That we will get ready and go through this time and effort to get dressed. But I kind of thought about it this way, is if you wouldn't walk out physically unprepared, don't walk out spiritually exposed. Today's message is, don't leave the house like that. Those are words that I don't believe I've ever said to Heather in our home. I don't think I've ever looked her in the eye and said, are you going to leave the house like that? Guys, don't ever do that. I mean, you want to be married? Don't say that. And so I not for that reason. You just know how you ladies are, and we love this about you. It drives us nuts, but we love this about you. You give great attention and care when you're leaving to go out the door. And you may try on 2, 3, 4, 5 outfits before you decide on what the perfect one is for that day before you leave. Guys, am I alone? Anybody else? Can we just have a moment? Don't leave me hanging up here all by myself. Does this happen to anyone else? You guys are awful. You're just leaving me hanging here high and dry. Father's Day is coming, and I'm going to pull out a whammy for you guys. all ladies, they give, whatever the case, they give great attention and care, and we love that. They give great attention and care when they leave. They very much care about how they're dressed. And so in the same way, if you're following in your notes today, the first thing on your notes today is this: daily decide to get spiritually dressed. You don't accidentally decide to get dressed in the morning. You do it with intentionality. You do it with purpose. You do it with a plan. In the same way, you don't just spiritually grow without intention. You don't just spiritually get stronger. You don't just spiritually mature without some planning and some attention. And if it's important to us physically, how much more importantly is it spiritually to daily decide to get dressed spiritually? Here's the good news I have for you. You already have what you need. You have the clothes that you need. You already have your wardrobe. It's been given to you. Paul says in Galatians, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. These are clothes that you can't earn, you don't deserve, you can't afford. If you have received Christ and you're trusting Him as your Savior, you have been given all the clothes that you need. You've been given clothes of righteousness. We're going to talk about that today. You've been given a wonderful wardrobe that we're going to share out of Ephesians in a moment. But I'm excited, and I don't want to forget this. I was thinking about doing it before the baptism today, but we have a couple baptisms. One is a wonderful lady. Her daughter got baptized in this last year. She's 17, Mackenzie. She's got a great story of what God's done in her life. Pastor Dustin is actually working to get it on video so we can show it to you. You need to know Mackenzie's story. God's been doing a wonderful work in her and her family. And her mom's lived out in Colorado for a while. And God's been doing a wonderful thing in their lives together. And Mackenzie said, you need to start watching Inspire Church. You need to start getting online. And she has been for months now watching online, watching our services. And here recently, she gave her heart and life back to Jesus Christ. And she drove all the way from Colorado today to be baptized in front of the church, in her church today. So we celebrate that. Can we celebrate what God is doing in our lives? God's not limited by a box. He's not limited by what's in the room. He works outside the room. But all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. But here's the thing. God's given us the clothes. They're free of charge. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't afford it. He's given it to us. Anybody know what that's like to have good clothes given to you? I'm a pastor, and I think sometimes people feel sorry for me. They're like, or they're trying to help me. And so I have some people that have given me some clothes that I wouldn't pay for myself, normally afford. I have a guy in my first church in Rockland, California. And you've heard me talk about him before. I have three suits that I've owned in my life. Two of the three suits that I've owned is from Tom. Tom bought me my second suit. I had to have one for when I sold insurance years ago. And I only had one suit. That's probably why I didn't make it. But anyways, just, hey, he just wears the same thing all the time. But anyway, I was getting ready to be ordained in Sacramento, and he took my wife and my daughters when they were little out, about 2 and 4. He bought them dresses, bought Heather a dress, and bought me a really nice suit. And that was the second suit I owned. And then a couple years ago, you might remember this. If you were here that day, you were all taken back when I was wearing a suit to preach in, because he requested before he died, he asked if I would wear a suit, if he would buy one for me. And about a month later, I did his funeral after that. And I think maybe he was thinking, guy needs some help, and I don't want him showing up to my funeral like this. And so he bought my third suit. And so I had this beautiful suit. I'll just say, of the two suits that he bought me, one fits kind of okay, and the other, there's no chance. It went into retirement, if you know what I mean. Not because it's out of style, but because it doesn't fit. And so it's a wonderful thing when someone blesses us with clothes that we wouldn't buy for ourselves, we couldn't afford, we don't feel like we could do that. And I've had a few of those things happen, but God gives us a whole closet. And all of the clothes He's given us, we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, we can't pay for it. he paid a great price for it. All those who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, but here's the thing. You still have to put it on. The clothes have been given to us, but we have to put them on. And it's a daily thing. So I'm going to take us to Ephesians chapter 6. And I know at first glance, you might be thinking I got confused because you might be thinking, okay, this is like warrior language. This is like battle language. Do you realize this is Mother's Day, flowers and those things? This is not Father's Day. But moms, you know this. While we like to go to the park and take our kids to the park, you're not raising your kids in a park. You're raising your kids in a battlefield. And it is a battlefield out there that is waging war against their souls, against their lives, against your family. And so today is warrior language. It's for everybody. But no, I didn't make a mistake. This is, Paul was given this language to us of not getting us ready to go to the park, but getting us ready to go to the battlefield. And so this morning, we start in chapter 6, verse 10. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. And here it is. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood of enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Basically, Paul is saying, we have no idea of what kind of battle we're fighting. But he's trying to awaken us to the fact that whether we know it or not, Christians, we are in a battle. Moms, we are in a battle. Dads, we're in a battle. Students, we are in a battle. And it's not the enemies that we think. So oftentimes we get confused and we think we're battling people, or we're battling a coworker or our spouse or family member. We are not in a battle with each other. This is not a battle against flesh and blood, Paul says. Now, the enemy uses us at different times. He can use good people to do ungodly things, but it is because there's a spiritual battle that is being waged. And so when you have someone in your life that's causing issues and causing problems, that's why you need to pray for them. We pray because they may be under an influence, or they may be under a spiritual battle that is causing them to do things that are hurtful, that are wrong. And I know it's tough to pray for that, but we're called to pray. We need to know that we have really three enemies in our life as followers of Jesus. The first enemy is the world. And that doesn't mean we don't like the world, we don't like the people that we work with, those things. When I say the world, we're talking about anything that opposes your relationship with God. That can be good things, that can be bad things, but anything that is in opposition to your relationship with Christ is an enemy of your soul. Our flesh, that is a second enemy. We're born with a sinful nature, we're born with selfishness, and so we have to fight the battle and ask Christ to fight the battle of the self within us that wages war against God. We're born into this world with sin, and that's why we need a Savior. And the third enemy is the devil, and it's not this little guy with pitchforks, and it's not this fairy tale or something that is made up. We need to be aware that there is a real enemy of our soul. Now, he's not like God. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-knowing. He's not everywhere. He can't read your mind or your thoughts like God can. He is limited, but he does have an influence and a power in this world, and he is seeking to destroy you. The scripture says that he is like a lion seeking to devour and destroy us. You have an enemy, whether you're aware of it or not, you have an enemy of your soul. And Paul is setting the stage that this is no picnic, this is no walk in the park, this is a battlefield. Then he says, therefore, here it is again, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness. So now he's starting to go into what's in your closet, your spiritual closet. For shoes, here it is again, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Paul says, and I'd encourage you to follow in your notes today, Paul is telling us the wardrobe that's available to us that he wants us to put on, but we have to put it on. And here's the wardrobe he's given us, the belt of truth. Now, this isn't the Word of God. I mean, truth comes from the Word of God, and all things God by our Heavenly Father is truth. But this is, that comes later. This is talking about your integrity. This is talking about your character. It is the most important because it holds everything together. And when you lose the belt of integrity, when you lose the belt of truth, everything else in your life begins to fall apart. It's an important garment that holds everything else together. When we let the lies as followers of Jesus, when we let lies and compromise begin to enter into our walk with God, everything begins to fall apart. We look at the example of King David, who the good news is he was known as a man after God's own heart, even though he blew it. He beyond blew it. And yet he was known after God's own heart because he was a man of integrity. Not because he was perfect, but because he trusted in the one who was, and he knew what it was to live a life of repentance, to stay in relationship with Christ and stay in relationship with God. And so when we let this fall apart, here's the story of David. Many of us know it. David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. He was in the wrong place. There's a whole sermon you could do on that one. He took what wasn't his. And to try to cover up that sin, he got Uriah, who was Bathsheba's wife, to come off the battlefield and to try to have relationships with her so that it could be, they would not know who the father was, and you didn't have DNA and all those things back then. And so he was going to cover up another sin. But Uriah was a righteous man. He was a man of integrity, and he said, I cannot indulge in the pleasures of my marital life when all my buddies and my comrades are out on the battlefield battling for me. So he slept outside the door, refused to go in and enjoy the pleasure of a night, went back to the battlefield. David was like, that plan didn't work. And so David sends a note out to the commander of the army, and it says, send Uriah to the front lines where the battle is fiercest, because he knows he's going to die. So he covers up one sin to cover up another sin, And this goes on for a year and a half. A year and a half of hiding, a year and a half of deception. He thinks he's gotten away with it. And there's another sermon for another day when Nathan the prophet confronts his sin. But then later, after it's all over, he writes this psalm. In hindsight, we know is always better than foresight. And in hindsight, this is what he writes. He says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength was evaporated like water in the summer heat. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he was standing in his pride, and he was standing in his rebellion, and the opposition of God was on his life. He was feeling the weight of his guilt and his shame. There was no escape, and it was wasting away. The inner parts of our life eventually come out in the outer parts of our life. The good news is David repented. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you. And I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Integrity is not about living a perfect life. Integrity is about living an authentic life, a repentant life, one that seeks after God's own heart in righteousness. It's not pretending The last thing the church, the world needs is one more Christian who's a phony and a fake. They need people who are authentic and real, who say, I need a Savior more than anybody else. My life, I need God. I've sinned just like you, and I need a Savior in my life. Then he pulls out the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate of righteousness is about your identity and your lifestyle. It's clothes that have been given to us, clothes of righteousness that we could not pay, we could not earn, we could not afford. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That is, that we might be placed in right position, in right standing. It's called justification. That we've been justified in God's eyes through Jesus Christ. That we've been put in a position as if we never sinned. If there's no shame and there's no brokenness, we've been given a position of, we've been justified, we've been made right with God. That is that identity that we're defined in Jesus Christ. But there's also a lifestyle that we're called to live. And that is something that we call sanctification. Sanctification is the work of God over time in our life. It's both a decision and a process. It's not perfection. It's not getting everything right. But it's this desire that God places within us when we surrender our lives to him to want to live a righteous life, to want to do what is right by God. Those we love, we want to do right by. And so it is both the breastplate of righteousness is identity and a lifestyle. And when we don't have the breastplate of righteousness, we are game and we're vulnerable to the enemy's attack on our lives. By the way, these breastplates of righteousness, well, actually I'm getting ahead of myself, to the shield of faith. Let me go to the shoes of peace. If there's one thing that ladies are listening to now, it's shoes, right? Do we love our shoes or what? You can tell I don't love shoes. I wear the same pair almost every single Sunday. You're like, get that guy a new pair of shoes. That's all he wears. It's my favorite. And I'm faster. I'm a lot faster in them. Shoes of peace. Sharing the good news. That's what the shoes of peace are. Because Christ was given to us that we might have peace with God. And the most vibrant, happy, joyful Christians I know are the ones that put on the shoes of peace. They're not keeping Jesus to themselves. They're sharing Jesus with others. They're sharing they too can experience the good news that God loves them, he's forgiven them, and if they will receive him, they'll be a child of God. Shield of faith. Shield of faith is about trust. The shields back in those times were about 2 feet wide and about 4 feet long. They covered, you know, from about your knees up to your chest. It covered kind of the most important parts of your body and your organ. And here's the thing I wish we had more time to talk about today is the shield of faith. It was really powerful when the army would line up together and they would lock arms and they would go forward with those shields of faith. You've watched some of the shows and how they do that. And there's a whole nother message to be preached on that the shield of faith is, we need each other's shield of faith too. Because sometimes my faith is weak when your faith is strong, and sometimes your faith is weak when my faith is strong. And we need each other. We need each other's faith for our moments of weakness. And so the shield of faith Paul called it the fiery darts of the enemy. What are those fiery darts? Well, it's the lies of condemnation that the enemy likes to throw at you that says you're not good enough. How could you be forgiven? You've done too much wrong. You're worthless. How could God love a person like you? It's the lies of the enemy. It's the lies that attack us. Faith is what shields us from that. It's the lies of doubt. Doubt in a relationship that we have with God. It's doubt in God's existence. How do we defeat doubt? We defeat it with the shield of faith. Faith is the antidote to doubt. We defeat faith. We defeat the enemies the arrow throws up at us in unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment when we pick up the shield of faith that allows us to forgive others. It's the shield of faith. And finally, we have the helmet of salvation. And I really believe this is for all of us. I think it's a battle we all fight. But since it's Mother's Day, can I just kindly say I think this is a little bit more sometimes at the women and ladies in our life that we love so much. Sometimes you're hardest on yourselves. This battle of the mind, what controls our thoughts, controls our lives. And there, I know that there's these stinking thinking is what I like to call it. There's these thoughts that of self-worth. There's these thoughts of comparison. There's these thoughts of I'm not good enough. And the helmet of salvation is not just a helmet that saves us from our sins, but he wants to save us from ourselves, from our own self-condemnation and our own unworthiness. God wants to give us the helmet of salvation. He wants us to put it on because there's a battle of our mind that wages every day. And we can either go down that stinking, thinking thoughts, or we can put on the whole armor of God and we can put on the helmet of salvation. We can start thinking about things that are good and lovely and pure and noble and excellent and praiseworthy, as Paul describes elsewhere, the helmet of salvation, the protection of our mind. And the last is to pray. Pray is both an offensive and defensive weapon. And often we focus, it is our power source, but for this moment, I want to talk about its partnership. Prayer is partnership. And it's a sacred partnership. When someone asks you to pray for them, they're inviting you into a sacred place. They're inviting you into a place of trust. When someone asks you to pray for them, they're asking you, would you partner with me? Because this burden or this thing that I'm dealing with, it's too big. It's a struggle for me. And I'm asking, would you go to God with me? Would you partner with me? Would you pray with me? It's a sacred trust. When someone prays for me, it's a blessing. And I have people tell me, hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I don't take that lightly. And I consider it a blessing and a privilege when many of you at different times will come to Pastor Nate or Christy or Dustin or one of us pastors and say, would you pray for me? And you tell us what you, I consider it a sacred trust. And what you're doing is you're saying, would you partner with me? Would you go to battle with me? Because I don't want to go in this alone. When someone asks you to pray for them, they are inviting you into a sacred partnership. And when you ask someone to pray for you, you are inviting them into a sacred partnership and a God-honoring partnership that leads to a great power source. Paul said, pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Basically, anytime, all the time, whenever you can. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. And I know this is Mother's Day, and as I told the first service today, it's in the Word, so I'm just going to share it. I know it's all about moms, but right now it's just about Kent, okay? This is all about me right now. I'm going to share something that's selfish, but I still think it's godly. Paul's prayer is the prayer that I ask you to pray for me and pray for our pastors. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike, that the good news is for everyone. Pray for me each and every Sunday. That's all I'll do. I'll just move on. Finally, don't leave yourself exposed. The armor of God that has been given to us for our spiritual closet, it is given to us. It's available to us, but it's not automatic. Every day, this is a decision of whether we're going to put on the full armor of God. Just like you decide whether you're going to get dressed, and praise God, all of you decide to get dressed every single week. And if you do not or never did, you would be escorted out by our safety and security team. But we all know to get dressed, and we do our best to put on clothes that help us and help us in our physical life. Why do we leave ourselves exposed spiritually when we leave the house and we don't invite God into our day? We don't ask him to lead our lives. The armor is available, but it's not automatic. We have to put it on. And moms, this is one is just for you. It's for everybody, but really for moms today. This is one place you must put yourself first. I don't know why, but God wired you in such a way to put everyone else first. To put your family, your kids, a lot of other people ahead of your needs. This is one place when you're taking care of your soul, it's not being selfish. It's not a selfish thing, it's an essential thing. It's like, and I forgot to share this in the first service, but it's like when you're on the airplane and they instruct you to put your mask on first before you put the mask on your children. Because if you pass out and die, you're of no help to your family and your kids. So you put that mask on first. Ladies, when you're putting the spiritual armor of God on first, you're not being selfish. You're doing the best thing for your family. And I'm not here to tell you what that looks like. You just let God work in your life what that looks like, because every one of us are at different stages of our life. We're empty nesters. We have a little more time on our hands. I'm not saying we have time on our hands. I'm saying we have more time on our hands. If you're a mother of a preschooler right now, man, this is a season of praying the grace and mercy of God on your life. There's no busier time. This isn't about get alone with God for an hour. And you're a mother of a preschooler and you're just going to leave here discouraged because it's an impossibility. I'm not saying don't do it if you can. I'm just saying there's a book in I never read. I got a lot of books I've never read, but I love the titles. And this particular title said, God, it was for a mother of preschoolers. It said, God, meet me in the laundry room. Because that's about all you got. That's about how much spare time you mothers of preschoolers and young ones have, is you have very limited resources and time. God understands your heart. He knows where you are. But do something to allow God to be first in your life. And maybe it's starting your day, and when you leave for the day, maybe it's just saying, God, I need you. Maybe it's just saying before your feet hit the floor, it's just saying, God, I need you. Maybe before your feet hit the floor, you just need to be reminded and say, God, you love me. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of the King. Maybe you just need to be reminded with the truth of God's word and not one of the lies of the enemy. So maybe this week, maybe just start off with a word of truth before your feet hit the floor. Maybe just start off and just say, God, I need you. Or God, I know you love me. Or God, I know I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by you. I know my position and my place. Maybe it's just starting that way, but this is one place you must put yourself first. And dads, one gift that we can give or try to give is to try to make some space that they have moments to be able to have solitude and alone. That's enough of that. Last is this, is when you put on the armor, you're putting on Christ. My encouragement to us today is to put it on. You have the wardrobe. It's been given to you. All of us have received it. We have to decide to put it on. Don't leave your house without it. Don't leave your house like that. Don't leave your house spiritually in your underwear. Start it with Him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love and mercy in my life. And just as we did, I'm excited to celebrate these baptisms today to remind us that when we go down into the water, we're coming out of the water represented with clean clothes, with a righteousness of God, that our sins are forgiven and we've been made new. But two prayers we prayed in the first service, we pray right now. Lord, what a sacred trust when people ask us to pray for them. And probably everyone in this room has someone who's asked you to pray for them. Let's just do that right now. That thing that comes to your mind, people have been praying, they've asked you to pray. Would you just pray for what that need is for a friend or a family member? What a sacred partnership to be able to pray for our friends and our family. And it's okay to pray for yourself. So moms, on this day, would you just take a moment and would you just pray for yourself? Would you just, whatever God lays on your heart, would you say, God, I need you, or God, thank you that I'm a child of yours. Thank you that I'm a daughter of the King. God, I need wisdom for my family. I need your help in this situation. Father, thank you that we can bring everything to you. Nothing is too small, nothing is too great that we can't bring it all to you. We love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. I love it when our kids join us. Would you